Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 76, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. This is a show where we seek to understand not only the science of the times, not only the things that are happening, not only the current events, but we are looking at how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to have your Bible, a pen and paper ready for today's word, because we'll be getting into some scripture, and importantly, we want you to make wonderful, copious notes. Before we get started, Rabbi, if you would open us up with the word of prayer, then we can get started with our preliminary discussion. Pastor Doug, excuse
Amen.
Me, Rabbi.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we first of all give honor to you. We give glory to you. We take the time to acknowledge you, to acknowledge not only what you've done as far as creating the world and all of those wonderful things and us and everything in the world, but you. Father, everything points to you, and we desire for you to help us to understand that importance. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we are your offspring. We thank you, Father, for giving us the ability by way of your Spirit and by the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, cleansing us and purifying us from sin, iniquity, and transgression, giving us the anointing of your Spirit to be able to even forgive ourselves as well. We thank you, Lord, our Yah, who has all things in his hand. There's nothing that surprises you. There's nothing that can surprise you, because your word always fulfill what you've called them to be and to do. So we thank you for that. We submit to you and submit to that this day, allowing your words to speak life and to speak the life so abundantly that there is no residue of death, of demonic activity, because your glory overshadows all of the diabolical things that the enemy would try to do this day. We thank you for that, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that prayer, sir. Here's Pastor Doug with our Before Torah Study blessing before we get into our recap this morning.
Ruach Asa Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, Arashir kishanu b'mitzvotav, Yitzhanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó a adornarnos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning we're going to go ahead and recap last week, which was episode 75, and we were touching again on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. And this time, we were going verse by verse, really mining for the gold nuggets that were in this section. And what we were finding is that this section really is a recipe, as we discussed in past week, a recipe for the overcomer, a recipe for the bride to prepare herself for the time to come, and more importantly, the bride making herself ready for her husband's return. We went verse by verse through one, went all the way down to about verse 4 or 5. One of the things I wanted to say again, this is kind of a synopsis, but escaping the lusts of the world is one of the first things that comes to mind, how to describe this section. It's very important for us to look at the components that are built upon, that are showing us how we are to walk. And I'm going to go ahead real quick and just kind of cover a couple of the key components or virtues that we were talking about. First one, of course, was faith that mentions there, and virtue. And when we got to the next one, which is knowledge, we wanted to make sure to clarify that knowledge in Hebrew is da'at. But more importantly than just knowing things, it's applied knowledge. It's the wisdom. And in this part of the discussion, we began to point out how important it is to be wise in this time. Going back, of course, to Matthew 25 with the wise virgins, we want to make sure that we are wise and not foolish. We want to make sure that we have prepared ourselves, not just with material things. In fact, that's not even the most important thing. Our preparation needs to be on the character and the qualities of who we are in Yah. So we need to make sure that we have prepared ourselves with the qualities, with the virtues that are going to produce fruit and not have us lacking or wanting. That is the most important thing. The bride is not just arrive. You don't just arrive because you've gone through the steps of becoming a bride. The bride has to continue to maintain her walk, maintain her obedience, and keep her dress, her bridal robes clean. And that is actually one of the challenges that we face in this time, to make sure that we keep ourselves pure. And so this is one of the things that we were discussing as well. Now I'm going to go there real quick, just get to the scripture here. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and get those verses real quick that we went to again. I apologize, my computer is slower this morning. But keep in mind, one of the other foundational components here was to escape covetousness, lust, and greed. We have to escape those. And we have to be acutely aware of what the Father wants for himself and for us. We have to know what he wants from us and for us. So again, we were reading verses 1 through, and we got to about verse 5, where we had to stop because there was just so much, especially in verse 4. I'm going to read verse 4 again, and then we can kind of dovetail off of this. But verse 4, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And we talked about having had the understanding of those promises that God has for us, that by these promises, we might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I made a comparison of lust being like rust. Lust breaks us down. Rust defiles us. Rust eats away at us. Lust does as well. And we have to understand that we have to escape the corruption, escape the pattern of the world, the thinking of this world. How do we do that? Romans chapter 12, renewing our minds daily, dying daily, which Paul, in Romans, makes the equivalent of saying this is kind of the basic understanding. This is the basic service, the basic form of worship to Yah. That's where we are here in this discussion. So, Rabbi, I'm going to pass it back to you. We can continue going verse by verse, or as the Spirit leads you. But this is, in a nutshell, where we were last week with 2 Peter chapter 1.
And I want to apologize because my air conditioning unit just came on. right when you passed it to me. So I'll try to speak up so you can hear me until it goes off. But, yeah, it's so imperative that we understand, and I love what you said that we've talked about before, and that is the character, the spiritual character of what is happening. One of the things that I'm reminded of, it started kind of early in my New Testament walk, because of my name, because John Wesley is my name. And individuals that were aware of the John Wesley and Charles Wesley, one that started the Methodist movement in the Americas, they would always remind me about it. So I had to go and get the book in order to get an understanding of what my namesake actually meant, because that was hovering over me pertaining to character, pertaining to who I am. And one of the stories, and I'll just make it brief, but one of the stories that I read, it really began to rivet me because it was pertaining to their ship that they were on, John Wesley and his brother. And they were coming from England, of course, to the Americas. And they ran into some very tumultuous storm to the point to where they didn't think, and the ship, the crew, everyone didn't think that they were actually going to make it. Well, there were some German believers from a different denomination that were there. And John Wesley was terrified. He was afraid because he knew that his life was about to, he's about to be shipwrecked and eaten by sharks or what have you, you know. And he looked over and noticed how this group was just praising and singing praises to the Lord at the height of the danger. I mean, they were just really getting into praising God and just really just embracing him, you know. And he took note. Not only did he take note, it stopped him from panicking. It stopped him from, losing all restraint. And he took note of their faith and began to realize that, hey, you know, I've preached in England and I've, you know, done all these things, but I don't have what they've got. I don't have that resolving faith to use that faith in the time in which it has been designed to be used. In Mark, and I want to say chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, going into chapter 5 of Mark, there's a passage there where Yeshua is speaking to the crowd and also to his disciples, and he's filling them full of faith words. And the scriptures, the passage actually says that, you know, he continued to give them as much as they could handle. In other words, as much faith words as they could process in their being, he gave that to them. But then, as we all know or should know, when our faith is high, it's high for a purpose. And that is because the test is about to come. Faith is designed for the test that is right around the corner. And for the disciples in this particular aspect of this passage, Yeshua told them, Jesus told them, he said, let's go to the other side of the Galilee. And he went in the boat, as most of you know, and slept. Well, the test, and the tester being the enemy, began to rock that ship and that boat to the point to where it was about to sink. I mean, it was holding water and barely staying afloat. This reminds me of my namesake when I read that passage. And it helps me to begin to realize that this is the faith and the testimony that John Wesley took to the Americas that brought him to a totally another level, so much greater than when he ministered and when he began to preach in England. Because he realized that preaching is one thing, but having a relationship to the point to where you can't be moved or shaken, and putting that faith in action, putting the key of faith in the ignition when it's time to start the vehicle. That's what it's designed for. That's what we are designed to prepare ourselves for. Going back to what we said about the da'at, it's not knowing what the key can do, it's having the wisdom to apply the key when you should. So we need to make sure that we understand how to apply it. And that is by being led by the Spirit to know when to and when not to. It is so important in these, and I'm just going to say it, in these last days that we find ourselves in, it's so important that we realize that our faith must be activated. And we must know how to activate our faith. And it has to be done during the height of the battle. The battle is raging to an unbearable intensity. That's when the faith and the words that God has given you and me, the purpose, the plans that he's established for us, has to also be at that same level of intensity in order to break the chokehold of the devil against us. And I just wanted to share that. I just felt led to share it spiritually, but I wanted to share it so that we understand that this is what is going to be that which overcomes in this time and in this season. Because the crescendo of those waves are already bellowing up against our spiritual ships. We're already taking water in our boats, spiritually speaking. And we know that there is no calm ahead. There's no subsiding of the attacks of the enemy ahead. So we have to utilize our faith, hold on to the words and the knowledge and the understanding of not just the Father, but also the Son, Yeshua, so that we can be set free from all of the fiery darts, all of the attacks, all of the ambushes that we see coming our way, and those that we don't see, knowing that that faith that we have is not something that we need to try to muster up. It's got to be something that's already there, and all we have to do is just put the key in the ignition, and it will start. And the reason why it will start is because we have maintained that spiritual vehicle. We kept the maintenance up. So because we kept the maintenance up, we know it's going to work. We're not caught up on what we've heard or what happened to someone else, because it is our faith. I can't use someone else's faith to ignite my faith. And what I mean by that is that faith is designed for that individual. I can get inspired, but that inspiration is just there to have me begin to put my key of faith in the ignition. Because I'm the one that still has to do it. No one can actually do it for me or for us. Going back to Matthew 25 and the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. That faith, that preparation is designed for one person. And I'm going to pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre, but I just really felt that very strongly at that moment that needed to be shared. Your thoughts on that?
That's excellent. And I mean, you really were touching on the first foundational element here, the faith. And, of course, without faith, it's possible to please God. But even more importantly, I love how you brought out in Mark how Yeshua imparted faith to prepare them for the storm coming. I think a lot of times we think faith is just supposed to be something maintained as a badge to show how faithful or how connected to God we are. But faith is in a sense, so it's a weapon, it's a tool, it's also fruit. It's so much more than that. I'm thinking back to times in which I had a significant trial and looking at how the Lord brought faith, one of those being having my child in the hospital, which ended up being a month. But right before that time, I remember getting and receiving words from Pastor, your wife, and you, and others that were encouraging to build up my faith, to give me something to hold on to. And it reminds me how it's like the purpose is God giving you your flotation device, or like you go through the airplane instructions, and they tell you where everything is, and you have those things, and it's like having a toolkit. God forbid if something were to happen, but in the sense of faith, when things do happen, you know that you have those. I think sometimes we flounder because we forget what we have or we don't pay attention. And so what I'm getting out of this is a reminder for us to pay attention to our faith levels. Just as you talked about the maintenance of a car, it's more important to be aware of the levels of things in your car even before the lights come on, so that you're not found, for example, without gas and you don't have a gas station. And that goes right back to being a wise or foolish virgin, making sure we have oil in our lamp so that at the time that it's needed the most, we're not left without anything. It reminds me of one of the ministers in our congregation who says, you know, he always brings up the quote about, you know, when Yeshua comes back, will he find faith in the earth? And so we need to make sure, going back to something I said earlier in the intro, that as we prepare, we're preparing with spiritual goods, if not as much, but more than we prepare with material goods. Those are the thoughts that were coming to my mind, sir.
Amen. That's good. That's excellent. Let's go ahead and read. I say we did verse 4, correct? So let's go ahead and go into verse 5, and then we'll begin to dissect that as well.
Yes. I think we may have read this one, but what happened is we had to go back and unpack 4. So let's start, like you said, with 5 here. And I'm going to read from the King James first, and then I'll go to the Amplified. And verse 5 says this: "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." In the Amplified: "For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution," or it says here, Christian energy. "And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge or intelligence."
Amen. And I'm glad that you brought that out in the Amplified pertaining to virtue, because to me, virtue is it reminds me of the virtuous woman in Proverbs, you know, 31, the 31 woman. And that's a person that's diligent. That's a person that is putting forth the maximum effort and making sure that they are studious in the way that they do things, you know, and not haphazardly, you know, just kind of fumbling around and just not really wanting to be there. Or, you know, it's like somebody at the workplace that you could tell that they just got up on the wrong side of the bed and really didn't want to come to work. So you know that you're not going to get the very best productive time from your coworker, you know, that type of thing. Whereas a virtuous person is a person that preps and that, you know, gets the amount of sleep and study and everything that is necessary, you know, so that when they do go to work, they're giving unto the Lord, they're giving their very best that they possibly can give, you know. And it's not to be a know-it-all or trying to outshine someone else as much as it is walking in the spirit of excellence, walking in the spirit of excellence. Daniel walked in the spirit of excellence, you know. There wasn't a time that he didn't have himself ready and prepared to give his best. And he wasn't ever in a situation where he was reluctant to give his best. So virtue, to be virtuous, is imperative for us, because what that does is it's contagious. When you are dealing with an individual that's virtuous, and you begin to work with that person, coming alongside of that person, having to do a project or a task together, all right, it lifts your spirits, because, you know, that individual is wanting to get the best out of themselves, which in turn begins to draw the best out of you. And you start to see yourself excel even more productively than you would normally do if it were just you and someone who really didn't want to be there, you know, and you knowing that, okay, I may have to pull his or her weight as well as my weight, you know, but that virtue, you know, that virtue is something that the Father has placed within us. So that when we tap into the virtue, then the Father can begin to reach and draw from others as well.
Amen.
So virtue is extremely important. You know, it's that desire to be the best that you can be, not the best overall, but the best that God has created you to be in that particular situation. You know, and then enjoy it.
That's good.
I mean, it does. It makes it. I know for me, it makes me want to be at work doing my best in a situation like that. You know, how about yourself, Pastor Andre?
That's, you know, it's beautiful. I've never really looked at virtue and broken it down like this. But even as we're talking about these words, it reminds me of my years in concert band throughout middle school and high school and into college a little bit. But our music book was called Standard of Excellence. And it reminds me of what we're looking for when it comes to virtue. And when it talks about virtue here, it says it's adding to your faith virtue. So it's like you're excelling and going and pushing yourself to do well and to be faithful with excellence. It's like there's the difference between, like you mentioned, and I'll just say it in my own words here, but doing something good versus doing it well. And it's telling us to walk out our faith well and not just good. In a sense, it's talking about us being hot and not lukewarm. So this is challenging me and saying, you know, okay, Lord, you know, I have the examples where perhaps in my career or with projects that I'm doing where I pursue excellence, but am I pursuing excellence in my spiritual walk? Or am I pursuing the best that I can be in all areas of my life? This is where the challenge is. And this is where it's like, okay, I might not be getting the grade that I want or that I expect or that I strive for in other areas of my life. So this is hitting me, especially when it gets to that in verse 5, it says, giving all diligence. That's the part that says, you know what, have I done that? Have I done it with all diligence? And I love you use the phrase, too, coming from the scripture as far as doing our work and our service as unto the Lord. And I'm realizing that in some areas I can say that. In some areas I'm saying, Lord, I might not be doing that as well. So this is a refresher, a reminder, and encouragement to make sure that we're pursuing that standard of excellence in all realms of our life, which is not easy, but it's our goal.
Totally agree with that. And it isn't easy, but with Him, all things are possible. So it's teaching us how to tap into Him. And that's one of the things that we haven't learned. And going back to the book and going back to that particular story of John Wesley, he had to, because you can only think of one thought. You can only maintain one thought at a time. And so he had to release his thought of fear and empowerment, okay, to actually grasp the thought of what he was actually witnessing with the German believers. You know, I mean, he had to stop being panicky in order to observe and to take note and realize, wow, you know, look at these guys. Look at this congregation here, this small congregation that is just, I mean, they are just really stepping it up, you know. And as the book was saying, was as they began to do that, then the storm just kind of subsided. You know,
wow.
But the beautiful thing was they were glorifying God in the storm, not after the storm leaves. You know,
and good.
Their faith was being used in the battle. Okay, the shield of faith was being used in the battle. You know, it's too late to put your shield up after, you know, the battle is all over. If you know what I mean.
Wow. Rabbi, can I read
the
account? I found it. This is coming from John Wesley in his diary, Sunday, January 25th, 1736. Rabbi mentioned, he's on a board on a ship bound for America, and he observes the Moravians, the Germans, Christians, in the midst of life-threatening storms. And this is his actual diary account, but I just thought this was so riveting. At 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior. Of their humility, they had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers. In other words, they were doing servant chores for other people, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts. Their loving Savior had done more for them, and every day had given them occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, or thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from the spirit of fear, as well as from that of pride, anger, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the main sail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks. As if the great deep had already swallowed us up, a terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sung on. I asked one of them afterwards, "Was you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your children and women afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." From then I went to their crying, trembling neighbors, and pointed out to them the difference in their hour of trial between him that feareth God and him that feareth him not. At 12, the wind fell. This was the most glorious day I have hitherto seen. And that's John Wesley's account.
Thank you for that. I mean, does that not tell you or show you that even the children were so lovingly disciplined? I mean, you can discipline someone harshly, but they were lovingly disciplined to know that their God was God and that nothing can take them out of God's hand, and that if it's their time, that God will do it in the manner in which God does it and not in the manner in which Satan does it. I mean, so for me, I look at that, and I look at that story, and I look at my namesake, and I say, Father, help me to fulfill that, because there's a reason why I was called by the name in which I'm called, and there's a reason why this event happened. Preferably that is helping those that are listening, because, you know, we need those overcoming significant emotional events that we can draw from, we can pull from, we can pull the virtue. Remember the virtue we were talking about? That they had tremendous virtue. So that awakens us to be able to use our key. Because, of course, when you go through something like that, you know, the tables turn on you, and you're like, well, you know, what's wrong with your faith? What kind of relationship do you have if their children aren't even afraid? What relationship do you have or have not? Anyway, we'll go ahead and go into verse 6, I believe. Pastor Andre?
All right. Please forgive me. I had to step away from my desk. Here we are, verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Now for the Amplified. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness or piety.
Amen. So from knowledge, we're going to learn self-control. Self-control is something that we will get a better understanding of. Why? Because if we understand how the Father is wanting things done, then we also understand where our place is in that operation. And by knowing that, then we're not getting ahead of God, we're not getting too far behind him, but we're staying lockstep with him. That is, to me, an extremely important definition for self-control. And I know in my own life, you know, it's you start to realize when the teacher in a classroom setting, and I'm just picturing this, a classroom setting where the teacher is giving each and every person an opportunity to answer a question, not the same question, but a different one. And you've had your opportunity and you answered your question, and then the next person is having a problem, let's say, getting the answer to their question. Now, this is when your self-control has to be at its highest level. Even though you and maybe your other classmates know the answer, it's not your place. Because then you have to ask yourself the question, what's the motive? Self-control reveals the motive of your heart. The lack of self-control reveals what's the driving force that's causing you to not submit to the authority, to the guidelines. Because that right there is an area that's going to hinder this progression. Because what we've got here is we've got a steady spiritual progression of growth in order to get to that place to where we'll never fall. So if self-control comes in and begins to expose something in me or in you, then that's where we know we need to tweak areas in our life. What we'll find is that spirit of lust that we were talking about in verse 4 has crept back in again. That old man has crept back in again. That, oh, look at me. Look what I know. Okay? Different than da'at, which is knowledge with wisdom. Wisdom does not say, just because I know it, I'm going to share it. I remember in learning, we were in Bible college, my wife and I, and they were teaching us how to flow in the Spirit and how to move by the Spirit in the Bible college. And one of the things that blessed me tremendously was the fact that in that particular college, the individual, the teacher, the prophet, and so he flowed very strong, but also very submitted to the Spirit. So it was gentle. It wasn't harsh. And I remember that he had a word for someone in the class, and he handled it so professional is the best way to say it. And I gleaned so much from that experience, because I knew that in different, at that time we were in the charismatic movement, but I knew that in different charismatic circles, you know, there's this, you know, I've got a prophetic word, so I've got to give it, you know, because God has given it to me, so therefore I have the right, you know, and the authority to give this word, regardless of what's going on, regardless if it's, you know, what the protocol is, you know, it doesn't matter. God gave me the word, I'm going to give it. And I've seen too much of that, not realizing the individuals, not realizing that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, or is it subject to the individual. And you have to be sensitive to what your surroundings are and knowing the timing of everything. Understanding the timing of everything. And one of the other things that really blessed me, you know, that I learned in that particular class in that Bible college was the fact that just because God gives you the word doesn't mean that you're the only one that has that word, or that you're the only one that can give that word or that interpretation, because we were also doing interpretations of of prophetic utterances. They had us doing that. It's an awesome class. But one of the things that I began to quickly pick up on is the fact that in a setting where the prophetic word and the utterance is going, and you're looking for interpretation of the tongues that were given, let's say, and we're not talking about devotional tongues, we're talking about prophetic, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, you know, 4 through about 11, talking about of the nine gifts, the manifestational gifts of the Spirit. Once that happens, if you receive that interpretation, and let's say for whatever reason you get afraid, you're not sure, you know, what if I'm wrong? You know, what if it's just me thinking that I know what they said, but I say it the wrong way? Or I don't use all of the wordings that the Holy Spirit wants to say. The Holy Spirit will immediately, I've seen it happen, it's happened for me, will immediately find someone else and have them give that prophetic word. And what I've learned from that is that we have to be sensitive to him and allow him to lead. And that's a process of learning, but it's also a process of submitting. The passages of Scripture in Revelation says, pertaining to the churches, it says, you know, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, not what the individual is saying, but it's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit utilizing a submitted vessel to speak. So in understanding this, it brings forth a maturity. And that maturity is imperative for us to get to that level that we're going to with these different, Pastor Andre, I'll pass it right back to you, and we can go into some of the other character traits that we haven't discussed yet. Pastor Andre, are you there? I don't know if you're still muted.
I'm back. I got disconnected. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Yes, I can. Yeah, if you could go ahead and go into the next character traits. Okay.
I apologize. Got disconnected there. And we're going to go ahead and start reading with now verse 7. So coming on to this, it says this, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. In the Amplified, it says this, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love.
I like the way it says that in the Amplified. And the reason why I say that, I like that, is because, you know, it gives you what the definition and the understanding of that definition pertaining to Christian love, or the love for and the love with the saints, you know. And the brotherly kindness is so important because Yeshua even says part of his commands that he gave his disciples was to love one another, you know, and that love is faithfulness. That love is building a relationship that really shows that you care about the other person, you know, and it's not lip service, but it's actions that affirm the lip service, if that makes sense. You know, because by doing those acts of kindness, then what it does is it quickly allows the other individual to know, you know, that the person really does care, really does genuinely think of you as an equal or as a part of the team that needs to also be cared for. And see, that's imperative, because if we're a part of the whole, we've got to feel and be, we have to feel as though we're part of the whole. We've got to have relationships being built within our collective group so that we are a group, not just in word only, but in action. Your thoughts on that, Pastor?
You know, it's so funny, because you know, earlier we were talking about how sometimes virtue can be expressed easier in different circumstances. And I'm realizing there's a whole big picture of how we need to be walking in these things with the secular, with the at home, and with even in the sphere of our group of believers. And so with kindness, it reminds me of that movie a long time ago with Pay It Forward. And it's basically individuals were doing acts of kindness in order to basically pay it forward because it has been done to them. And so in many ways, in every area, even in our family, I'm trying to think of ways in which I can pay it forward with my spouse, pay it forward with my kids, or like I said, in a group of believers, paying it forward to build that cohesive brotherly love, as we just were talking about here, the kindness. So there's opportunities in all realms of our life to walk in these things, and I'm realizing that sometimes it's easier to focus on one or the other. But it reminds me of how Yeshua said you need to do these without neglecting the others. And so, yeah, it's really crucial for us to have a solid, physique spiritually, not just have the big arms and the small legs or the big legs and the small arms. We need to make sure that we're balanced in all areas as we pursue these character traits.
And I like the way you said that, because too often, you know, in working out, you know, we want those body parts that that we think that everyone else thinks is the most eye-catching, you know, when in actuality, you know, it's having a person that is completely fit that is going to do the most good in a situation or circumstance. You know, because if you have one body part that's overly developed, let's say, and you have another that's underdeveloped, you know, it's going to be that underdeveloped area that's going to be the weakest link that's going to cause you to fail, you know. Mm. And, you know, that is something that we've got to pay attention to and make sure. One of the things that came to my mind when you said that is that God allows certain things to happen in our lives. And in allowing those things to happen, what it does is we should take that as a part of exercising. I'm not saying when we do some things wrong, okay? But I'm saying when obstacles come that are beyond us, it's not anything that we did wrong or right. It's just a part of the life lesson that we need to learn at that particular time that God allows to happen. So when he does that, then we need to embrace that as if we're embracing a workout in the gym. Because we know that, you know, when you start to embrace a workout in the gym, there's a starting point and then there's an ending point, you know? We need to look at those obstacles in the same manner. It's like, you know, this too shall pass, you know? So in order for it to pass and not come back around again, let me be virtuous and diligent, okay,
that's good,
in making sure that I do, with the spirit of excellence, embrace this obstacle, okay? Because if I embrace that obstacle correctly, then I won't have to redo that over again, because I will get a passing grade in that. Your thoughts on that, sir?
It brought me right back to a couple weeks ago when we were talking about James chapter 1 and the paradox of counting it joy when you have different trials, or it says diverse temptations. But the key part was that it says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And here we have two of those elements here in the character development in 1 Peter, faith being the beginning part, and I think patience comes in towards the middle. Yeah, verse 6. So we basically saying counting it joy, counting the workout joy, knowing that it is producing the results that you're looking for. And I don't know about you, but I have never been one that's been excited about working out. But I do like the results. And so I have to be more result-minded as opposed to focusing on the temptation, or and it says in Scripture, or the workout part. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because you're more focused on the pain and the struggle and the what is going to be, you know, I want to say it's like the amount of effort that you have to put into it in order to get the weights up or what have you, you know, when in actuality, you know, making sure that the way you do the exercise is correct so that you get the very best out of the exercise versus just trying to get the barbells up or you know, go with a full extension, you know, as opposed to not doing a full extension. I remember when my wife and I were at a gym and we were taking some classes. And one of the things that I noticed real quick with one of the trainers that we had was that, you know, he will tell you, okay, well, you need to do X amount of these of this particular exercise with this barbell. All right. But he would watch us. And I would be, of course, trying to do it, you know, and everything. And then I'd get to a place, you know, which anyone and everyone would, to where I couldn't push the other ones out, you know, not in the manner in which he said. And he quickly took the barbells from me and gave me a lower weight barbell in order to make sure I did a full range of motion of the exercise right, so that I got, so that not only would I do it correctly, but it wouldn't hamper or hinder or hurt me, if that makes sense. And I look at that from a spiritual standpoint. You know, the scriptures are very clear in 1 Corinthians pertaining to the Father saying that, you know, that when we get to a place to where we can't handle something, okay, He provides that way of escape. Amen. He provides for us an opportunity to step out and to get a lower weight, if you will, you know, and then still not to get out of doing the exercise, but just not hurting ourselves with that weight that we have, you know. So we need to be willing to call on Him and to ask Him, you know, where's that lower weight that I need? Because, you know, I feel it, and I've reached a point where I can't handle anymore, you know. So that ministers to me as much as it does to anyone listening right now. But that's something that we need to petition Him, because His desire is for us to be spiritually healthy, okay, and spiritually whole, and not to be lopsided in our spiritual physique. That doesn't help Him, it doesn't help us, and it doesn't help each other. Back to you, sir.
Wow. You know, one of the questions that it does bring up, some people don't know how to work out. And I know one of the worst things, whether it's your career, whether it's your workout, anytime you have goals, is to not know what the goal is. Because there's nothing worse than going to the gym and be like, I'm working out, but what is my goal? You know, what am I doing here? Because then you quickly lose your motivation. And so I think one of the things that the scripture does for us, as we just kind of reviewed the whole Second Peter again, is it's helping us to see goals. But we still have to, in a sense, know how to respond when we recognize something that is misbalanced. So, for example, I'm looking through this list, and I see some that need some diligence, as it talks about. The question is what kind of game plan, how do we approach building the proper balance in the areas that we find are weak? That's, I guess, one of my questions.
And that's an excellent question. And I would even say that before we get to that, to answering that question, you know, we have to know, well, where is my purpose and my call in the kingdom? What does the Father have me doing? Okay? Because if I'm the arm, then I should not be doing eye exercises. Okay? or if I'm the feet, you know, I shouldn't be looking for gloves so that I can wear the gloves, you know, and utilize those. It's imperative that as I'm going through and the Father is teaching me, that I allow the Holy Spirit to begin to let me know, you know, all right, where am I at? Not overarching who you've called me to be, okay? Because Yeshua, you know, if it's like the fivefold ministry, for an example, you know, Yeshua develops you for that. But even in that development, I have to be yielded to the Spirit until the Spirit says, okay, you're ready. I know, like for me, I stayed submitted to the pastor and we've just worked out to where I was part of his armor bearer. I mean, God did it. I didn't do it, you know, and because I wasn't looking at ministering or trying to minister or to be a pastor or to be a rabbi. That wasn't where I was. But even as I continued, you know, I began to hear sermons. As I'm listening to the sermon of the pastor preaching, I'm hearing myself preaching a sermon right alongside of him. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Because no one had told me, you know, that, hey, God's calling me. God's doing this. You know? But it didn't come into much later until it became very apparent that God was calling me, you know. And of course, you know, I went to Bible college, my wife and I both, and, you know, God just continued to have, divine appointments to let me know, yes, you're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. This is what I've called you to do. And this is what I'm going to want you to do. But he didn't give me the great big scheme of things like I have now. He gave me, as I was being diligent and virtuous, then he would guide me. But hey, I pray that this really helps others too, because the Father wants us all to mature. And in maturing, you know, we will get to that place. All of us will, if we faint not, if we don't give up. And that's important for us to understand. So with that being said, Pastor Andre, if you could go ahead and conclude today's message and give individuals information on more about us and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rabbi. For those of you listening today, I hope that even just our discussion today has sparked some areas of question and conversation within your own heart, as we all evaluate our spiritual maturity and our growing in spiritual substance. It's very important for us to take account and evaluate to see where are we in the faith, and to then make the proper course corrections. And that's why the question came up. So how do we begin to address those areas? And I love what you said, Rabbi, as far as the Holy Spirit leading you and submitting to that process to allow him to develop those areas in us. So again, I want to thank you all for joining us today for These Be Perilous Times. We're glad you've taken time to study and to engage in Yah's Word with us. We encourage you, more importantly, to go back and look at these things, to study them as Bereans, because the Bereans were diligent in looking and searching through the Scriptures to see if the things were true. But more importantly, once you find truth, don't sell it. Don't give it away. Don't get rid of it, but apply it. As it says here, then allow it to go into knowledge or intelligence or wisdom and understanding. That's what is most important. Even for us, as we share, we both we'd have to go back and apply these things. So this is a level playing ground as we study the Word of God. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, we encourage you to do so by emailing us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, visit our website, www.bethhashem.org, and that's spelled B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M. shem.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. Also, if you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of your faith, our college, the Chi University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.bethhashem.org. And I've seen this course firsthand, and I've seen individuals coming through this course, and I know there's a life-changing opportunity to see scriptures unfolded and unpacked in the way in which Rabbi John shares and teaches it. So I encourage you to go look through and experience that for yourselves. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App. You can do so on your mobile device or on your computer, www.cash.app/$BethHashem. And that's all lowercase, one word. At this time, we'll go to our After Torah blessing with Pastor Doug, followed by our Aaronic benediction for today, and then our closing prayer with Rabbi. So at this time, Pastor Doug with the After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bitokenu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad. Y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. At this time, I'll recite the Aaronic benediction for this week and pray that Yah's name be upon you and that he goes before you and scatters your enemies, making your path straight.
Yivarechecha Yahuwah merecha, Yair Yahuwah panavelecha, Vichunesha Yisal Yehua Panav Alecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
May Yehua bless you and keep you. Yehua cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yehua lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yehoshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. And Father, we thank and praise you for your peace, your shalom, your nothing broken and nothing missing. Father, we thank you that you are establishing within us an opportunity to deal with any fear, any trepidation, anything today that would try to cause us to fall back and not utilize our faith in the manner in which you've called us to. Father, we desire to allow you to allow us to exercise the faith that you've given us to fulfill everything that you desire from us and for us today. In Yahushua's name, we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.